Jai Om Vishnu Pad Param Hamsa Parivad Kitraya Ashtu Duhishata Shishimad Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Bibiti Samstapaka Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantaraj Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaur Pemanande Hari Hari Bhu Samaveta Bhakta Vindiki Jai All glories of the assembled devotees All glories of the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Devotees.
Can the fan be put on?
Sarva Shastra Dipiyusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokaika Drikpada Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kalidvanto Ritaditya Shri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshak Sadayati Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume Asadu Saduta Dayin Atini chocha tatara Ama muncha kadachin mam Vemna rit kanta yok spura Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Konsa Shloka 19 Hare Krishna
Chakre Hiranyakashipur Durbhyam Brahmavarina cha Vashe sapalan lokan street Akuto mrityur uddataha Chakre Hiranyakashipur Durbhyam Brahmavarena cha Vashe sapalan lokan street Akuto mrityur uddhataha Chakre made Hiranyakashipu Hiranyakashipu Durbhyam by his two arms Brahmavarena By the benediction of Brahma, cha and vashe, under the control, sapalan, along with their protectors, lokan, the worlds, tween, three. Akuto mrityuhu Fearing death from no one Udataha Puffed up Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada The elder child Hiranyakashipu was unafraid of death from anyone within the three worlds because he received a benediction from Lord Brahma. He was proud and puffed up due to this benediction and was able to bring all these planetary systems under his control. Purport. As will be revealed in the later chapters, Hiranyakashipu underwent severe austerity and penance to satisfy Brahma.
and thus receive a benediction of immortality. Actually, it is impossible even for Lord Brahma to give anyone the benediction of becoming immortal. But indirectly, Hiranyakashipu received the benediction that no one within this material world would be able to kill him. In other words, because he originally came from the abode of Vaikuntha, he was not to be killed by anyone within this material world. The Lord desired to appear himself to kill him. One may be very proud of his material advancement and knowledge, but he cannot be immune to the four principles of material existence, namely birth, death, old age, and disease. It was the Lord's plan to teach people that even Hiranyakashipu, who was so powerful and strongly built, could not live more than his destined duration of life. One may become as strong and puffed up as Hiranyakashipu and bring under his control all the three worlds, but there is no possibility of continuing life eternally or keeping the conquered booty forever. So many emperors have ascended to power and they are now lost in oblivion. That is the history of the world. Hiranyakashipu had reason to be proud. He was very powerful. He was huge. You cannot imagine how big he was. Even just one of his earrings was like the size of a huge building. Even in the age that he lived, in the Satyuga, he was bigger than everybody else. And more powerful, and more fearsome, more influential. Practically, he could rival God. He could claim that people should worship him. And there are many other imitations of Hiranyakashipu who try to become rulers of the world on a smaller scale. They come and go constantly. Every century has their little Hiranyakashipus who want everyone to worship them, who want to take control of the whole world. But they live for a few years, they enjoy some victory, and then they're defeated. They're defeated by time. This is the fate of everybody in the material world, is that they have to be defeated. Whereas a person like Hiranyakashipu, who is actually coming from Vaikuntha, he's an immortal being by the virtue, by the strength of his devotion to the Supreme Lord. He's not subject to death. Except that he and his brother committed an offense against great Vaishnavas, the Kumaras, and they were cursed to die three times. But a person from Vaikuntha is not subject to the laws of birth and death of the material world. So Hiranyakashipu did not enter samsara. They never became subject to the laws of birth and death. They could only be killed by Lord Narayan himself. Each of the three times, for each of them, Krishna himself had to kill them, which made a good excuse for Krishna to come down and perform his pastimes. Because there was no other way, no other hero who could rid the world of these demons. Each of the times that each of the two of them appeared, three times. So on six occasions, the Supreme Personality of Godhead had to personally intervene and remove the danger of this demoniac power, because nobody else, no material force could do it. By this happening, and by our being able to, some people saw it,
everyone else reads about it in the Puranas. How? Hiranyakashipu threatened the universe and was victorious. He kicked out Indra and the rulers of heaven and took their place. And then how he was defeated for his aparad against Prahlad. Many aparads. He tried to kill the most saintly, innocent Vaishnav, who was his own son. That sealed his fate. The same Lord Narayan, whom Prahlad was constantly remembering, delivered Prahlad in an impossible way. So Lord Nrisingadev had to appear, and he appeared the way he did, in order to fulfill the words of Brahma and to fulfill the promise of Narayan. So Lord Narayan had promised the four Kumaras, yes, I will uphold your curse, I will not counteract it. He had promised, Lord Narayan had promised Jayan Vijay, don't fear, you will come back soon to me. You have your choice. You can take, if you want, take birth three times as demons, or many times as devotees, and they chose to be demons and get their punishment over with quick, within only three births. So that was the promise. Okay, I promise you, three births, you'll be killed three times, and you will come back to me. So that those promises made by Lord Narayan to both the four Kumaras and to the giant Vijay themselves, they had to be made true. How can anything Lord Narayan says not come true? And the devotees of Narayan, the pure Brahmanas, what a pure Brahmana speaks must come true. If it is against the laws of nature, if it is against fate, what is destined to happen, then Krishna, to maintain the honor of the Brahmins, will change the laws of nature. He will change fate to make the word of the Brahmin true. So the Lord Brahma, the head of all the Brahmins in the universe, he promised Hiranyakashipu these benedictions. And now he has to keep his promise. No human being, no animal can kill you. You cannot be killed in the day or the night. You cannot be killed indoors or outdoors by any weapon. He couldn't promise actual, guarantee of liberation, because he didn't have that power to bestow liberation. Only Vishnu can bestow liberation. And sometimes a few pure devotees are specially empowered to also give liberation. Just as agents. Just like you buy a lottery ticket. If your number is the right number, you win you win 1 crore. That's guaranteed by the government. It's the state of Uttar Pradesh lottery. So the poor man who's selling you the 1 rupee lottery ticket, he's just the agent. But he's the authorized agent. The ticket that he sold you, if it's the right number, you win the prize. Like that, there are certain representatives of the Supreme Lord who can give liberation. It's mentioned in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Lord Mahadev and his wife, Parvati, have been deputized with the authority to bestow liberation. But it's not that Lord Brahma has the same power. He has other powers. But bestowing liberation is not among his powers. If you want liberation, you have to go to Narayan or to Lord Mahadev. And Brahma told that to Hiranyakashipu, I'm sorry, you want liberation from me, but I can't give it to you. So then Hiranyakashipu said, well, at least promise me this and that, that I can't be killed in this way and that way. And I'll, by getting those promises, I'll arrange so that nobody can kill me anyway, no way that anybody can kill me. So those promises of Lord Brahma had to be made true.
how to be fulfilled. So to fulfill all these promises and others, Lord Rishikadev had to appear and deliver Prahlad. And he had to kill Hiranyakashipu, not as a human being or an animal, but something in between. Not during the day or the night, but something in between. Not indoors or outdoors, but in between. In such a way to fulfill everybody's word. To make all the words of Narayan and of Brahma true. Satyavratam. When the demigods came to pray to Krishna in the womb of his mother Devaki, the first thing they said is, Satyavratam, you are always true to your vow. Now you have taken birth as Krishna because you promised you would. You promised Bhumi Devi you would deliver her from the burden of the kings, unruly demoniac kings. Now you have come in fulfillment of your promise. You are Satyavratam. When you make the sankalpa, I will do something, you do it. That is the nature of God. And if we want to be godly, if we want to be, God is all pure. And one aspect of his purity, that his word is true. If you want to be a lover of God, if you want to have the association of God, if you want to be part of his pastimes, or at least have a relationship with him, even while you are in the material world, then you also have to become pure. That's the purpose of becoming a Brahmana. So you can associate with Brahman, the absolute truth. And you must develop godly qualities. And one of the most important qualities that must be developed by anybody who wants to actually have his personal relationship with Krishna, he must also become true to his word. That's why some sadhus take a vow of silence, because they can't maintain this higher principle of always speaking the truth. Better they don't say anything. Then they can shut their mouth and take their mauna vrat. This is palago vairagya. You don't know how to use Krishna's energy properly, better you do nothing. You don't know how to speak truthfully, don't speak at all. But devotees, that's the impersonal path. To negate. To don't do anything because you can't do anything right. You can't do anything to satisfy Krishna, better you don't do anything. Don't talk. Don't walk. Close your eyes. Close your ears. Don't do anything. But if you can become a devotee of Krishna, then you can use everything for Krishna's service. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhi. Using everything appropriately for Krishna's satisfaction, that's much better than doing nothing. And a devotee who can speak the truth is on the godly level. He's Brahmabhuta. He's pure like God is pure. You know, a pure man. The first symptom of his purity is that the words that come out of his mouth are true. Now that has negative and positive side. It means not to speak a lie. If you speak lies, then how can you be called true? Falseness, lie is the opposite of truth. Obviously. But it's not enough only not to speak a lie. Although it's difficult enough not to speak a lie. You may want to be honest, but can you always be honest? When it comes time to pay your taxes, can you speak the absolute truth? And not lie to the tax collectors. Oh, not hide some money under the table or say something that's not true. Very few people in all situations in the real world can avoid ever speaking a lie. Yudhishthir is famous for that, because nobody else can do it. Nobody can live his whole life without lying, and Yudhishthir did until Krishna forced him to lie. But nobody else can live up to that standard. Everybody's saying so many lies. And sometimes we say a lot of lies we don't have to say, because we get into bad habits of lying. But even if you try not to lie, you end up saying some lie to somebody just to survive, just to avoid embarrassing situations. No, I'm sorry, he's not home. Can I take a message? That's a lie. But we do it. So to accomplish that, to come up to that standard of never speaking a lie, that is very hard. But even that is not complete truthfulness. You can speak no lie, but only speak useless things. Prajalpa. How's the weather? You know, how much does the bun gobi cost in the market? So many things. You know, things that are completely mundane. So that is not truthfulness either. It's violence. Especially if I'm a Vaishnav, and I've been given Divya Gyan, and I've been studying Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and when I come in the association of other Vaishnavas, we help one another drag our consciences down by prajalpa, talking about mundane things. That is violence. We're doing violence to one another, hurting one another spiritually. So how can you call that truthfulness? Oh, I'm not telling any lies. It is true. Bun gobi is 12 rupees a kilo. So what? But it's irrelevant. We're Vaishnavas. We have more important business. So truthfulness means to be absorbed in Krishna Katha, in the higher sense. When you open your mouth, you enlighten whoever you speak to with something about Krishna's glories and the glories of his devotees. That is the real quality of truthfulness. It's hard to practice. Not because it's hard to talk about Krishna, but it's hard to control our tongues and our minds. It's easier. We're lazy and we want to do the easier thing. To just speak about anything. To remember Krishna and to say something about him is takes an effort. But we should. Yade Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice. Who was it? Sanodhya Brahmana or some Brahmana wanted to leave his family and join Lord Chaitanya. Maybe it was Sanodhya Brahmana who lived in Mathura. Maybe somebody else. Maybe. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, don't do this. You should stay at home. That's it's not proper for you to artificially renounce at this time. But you can have my association, you can have my mercy if you follow my instruction. And the instruction is, Yare deko tahe koho Krishna upadesh. Amar agyai guru haya tar edesh. You want to be my servant. Well, I'm going to ask you to do something more difficult. Become guru. You want to be sevaka, bhakta. I'm telling you, you become guru. Everybody you meet, tell them Krishna's instructions. You may not be a pundit. You may not be able to quote so many shastras to give a very fancy explanation of Krishna's upadesh. So give a simple instruction of Krishna's. You're not this body. Why are you acting like a materialist? Why are you smoking this biddy, drinking this tea? Put this aside. Be Krishna's servant. Some simple instruction. Of course, you have to do it intelligently so that the person will accept, not just get angry. So there's an art how to give Krishna's upadesh. It's like teacher wants if the teacher is a good teacher, a serious teacher, he wants the students to learn. Not just, he'll beat them, into submission and keep them, from fighting and throwing rocks in the school and get his pay, that's all. Keep the students under control and collect your money. That's not a good teacher. A good teacher wants that the students become enlightened, that they learn something, that they develop good character. So that is an art. It's easy to beat the children over the head with a stick, to slap their wrists, and then you keep them under control. You threaten them and you do so many things. That's the easy way. It's hard to actually give them a love of knowledge and a good character. That is a great art. You have to be very expert. How to give upadesh. So how to give Krishna upadesh is also an art. An artist has to have the right spirit. It's not just your knowledge, it's your bhava, your mood, attitude. So the attitude of someone who's going to teach is that he has to have compassion. He has to have sympathy for his students. If he doesn't have sympathy, he shouldn't be teaching. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling this Brahmin, you become guru. Okay, in a simple way. Everybody you meet, tell them something about Krishna. Amara Agyaya, on my order, you become guru and save your own place. You want to take sannyas and wander around the world. But that's not for you. Someone else is appropriate. For you, you're a grihastha and you're still attached. So you stay home and become the guru of your own village. You know, later you can become Parivrajakacharya when you're ready for it. So he told that Brahmin like that. Amara Gyai Guru Haya. Become spiritual master, teacher, under my instruction. But someone should not become a guru if he doesn't have any sympathy for the persons who are going to become his disciples. If he doesn't want to take the trouble to take care of anybody, then he shouldn't become guru. Just to give a mantra and take their money and ignore them. That's not the proper function of a guru. He has to take care of his disciples. And some devotees can't be bothered to take disciples. They have their bhajan. They want to be left alone. They don't want disciples. Someone has to have special compassion to take the trouble to take disciples. And, or to be a teacher, any kind of teacher. But that is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Become teacher. I've come to this world. I've come to distribute this Harinam. I'm taking so much trouble out of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. So you share with my work. Help me. You also become compassionate and take some trouble for the benefit of other people. You want to be my servant? Do that. That was Chaitanya. Of course, he may give a different instruction to somebody else, and even an opposite instruction. Prabhupada quoted that, though. And I don't remember the exact purport. Very interesting purport, if I can remember some of it. Somewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he quotes this verse from another part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada says, it was Chaitanya Charitamrita where the verse spoken by Sudama Brahmana, Krishna's friend, Kuchela, Krishna's poor friend, who used to be his schoolmate at Sandapani's ashram. And this famous verse, Kwaham Daridra Papiyan, Kwa Krishna Shriniketanaha, Brahma Bandhuriti Smaham, Bahubhyam Uparam Mitaha. So we read about the Durbhyam, the mighty arms of Hiranyakashipu that subdued the universe. So Sudama was also meditating on two arms, but different arms, the arms of Krishna, his friend. Who am I? A poor, useless person. And who is Krishna? The master of the goddess of fortune. I'm not even a real Brahmin. I'm just an unqualified member of the Brahmin family, Brahma Bandhu. And here Krishna is embracing me in his own arms. I'm so amazed. So this verse is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Prabhupada writes his purport. And he said that we members of the Krishna consciousness movement, living in Kali, I don't remember the exact words, but we're living in Kali Yuga, we cannot even claim the qualification that Sudama claims. He says he's Brahma Bandhu. We're not even that. We're so low class, unqualified. We have no hope. You think Krishna's going to come, the husband of Goddess of Fortune, and have Rukmini fan us and Krishna will embrace us? We can't claim that right. So we have no hope except to follow the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And which order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does Prabhupada quote? We're so fallen, we have no hope. All we can do is follow Lord Chaitanya's order. Which one? Yare deko tahi kol Krishna upadesh. Amara gai guru haya. You're so fallen, unqualified, so become a guru. Everybody you meet, tell them about Krishna. That way you become instructing spiritual master and save the world, or save your own world, your own village. Amazing purport. Yeah. Prabhupada chose. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his instruction to a particular person, and you can say, well, he gave other instructions, even opposite instructions to somebody else. But Srila Prabhupada picked out this verse in the context of us in ISKCON, that this is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu we should follow. And not because, not if we're qualified, but even, or even because we're not qualified, we must have nothing, no other hope but to follow that order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is also the way to participate in the Lord's pastimes. We don't have to be cursed to become demons and fight with Krishna. We can cooperate with Krishna, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He doesn't fight with demons anyway. Now, even Jagaya Mata, he was about to call his Sudarshan Chakra. He was calling his Sudarshan Chakra. But Nityananda Prabhu reminded him, this is not the mood of this Leela, of this avatar. You're not fighting with your enemies. You're not killing them. You're killing their demoniac spirit. So there's no opportunity to fight with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You might as well just surrender and cooperate. If you rebel against him, he will neglect you. You cannot expect to become the enemy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and you know, he'll come and cut your head off. He won't do it. Not in this avatar. You'll have to wait till Kalki avatar for that. Better to just cooperate. Do what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants of us. And then our life becomes successful. Then we get all the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. Okay, so I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments?
I have one. In the verse, chapter 14, I think text 27, Brahmano hi vrindishtaham amritasya virasamacha shashvachasya chadarmasya subhasekantarasicha. Krishna says that he's the basis of the impersonal Brahman.
Yes.
Which is the source of ultimate happiness.
Yes.
But then we hear statements that, for example, in relating with the three features of Bhagavan, there's Satchit and Ananda, but in the impersonal, in Brahman feature, there's only Sat. So how in one statement is it saying that the Lord is in that form is without bliss, but in the other statement it's saying that that's the ultimate happiness?
Because there is no such separate thing, actually, as impersonal Brahman. Krishna is never impersonal. There's no manifestation of God, of Krishna, without Ananda. Ananda Vaisaha, what is it? Rasa Vaisaha. Rasa Vaisaha, Rasam Yevayam Labhadva, Anandi Bhavati. And anyone who comes in contact with that reservoir of pleasure becomes blissful. There's even the Brahmananda, but it's inferior, relatively inferior. So Brahman is not something separate. You can't depersonalize Krishna. But he can hide his personality. Brahman, Jiva Goswami explains in the Bhagavad Sandarbha in the beginning that Brahman and Paramatma are the same as Bhagavan. They're just different realizations of the same truth. When you approach the absolute truth from a distance, like coming to a mountain from far away, all you see is some big thing, but you don't know what it is. You cannot see the shape clearly. Covered with clouds and very far away. That is like Brahman realization. But you're looking at the absolute truth. It's not that the mountain has no shape. It's just a, you know, a pile of clouds. The rocks are there. The trees are there. There are even villages on the mountain with people living there. and animals and birds on the mountain, and water, rivers, waterfalls. All of this is there, but you cannot see it. You're too far away and your eyes are not sharp enough. That is Brahman realization. It is not that in Brahman there is no Ananda, but you cannot see the Ananda, that's all. Brahman realization means partial realization of the absolute truth. You cannot distinguish the personal qualities. But it doesn't mean they're not there. So Krishna can say, I am Brahman. And that is the source of bliss. It is. But not if you cannot see the bliss. You have to learn to contact the bliss by becoming a devotee of God. So the devotion must be there, and actually you must realize the Supreme is Bhagavan to be able to realize the Ananda. The Ananda you can realize as an impersonalist is very, very inferior. But it doesn't mean the Ananda is not there, it's just you have no access to it. It's hidden, it's hiding, that's all. And you cannot contact it. Okay.
Yeah. Hanuman had a question also.
Yes.
Someone told him that Hanuman was an incarnation of Shiva. And then the other day when we were talking, you said how Hanuman was an incarnation of the wind god. So he was confused. Is that true?
I know it's popular opinion that Hanuman is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. I can't say whether that's not true or not, or whether it's true or not. I don't even know what the source is. You know, you can see deities of Panchamukha, you know, Hanuman is expansion of Shiva. I don't know what the basis of that opinion is, so I can't criticize it. I know that, you know, that it is an authorized opinion that he's son of Vayu. Okay? He's a Vaishnava, you know, empowered, eternal associate of the Lord. He may also be in some way an empowered, you know, incarnation of Lord Shiva, but I don't know where that is said actually in Shastra.
There's a story that Lord Shiva lost his semen.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And I just don't remember the details, but I was listening to Radhanath Swami's seminar about Ramayana.
Yes.
And therefore he said that Lord Shiva is like a one farm. But why then the semen,
yes,
came to Vayu? Vayu gave the semen to one woman, and therefore he was a medium when Vayu gave that semen to Shiva.
Yes.
And therefore he also was a father.
Okay, so this is Valmiki Ramayana, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know the story. Okay, so Valmiki Ramayana, authorized source, and it's saying that first he's a son of Shiva, and that Vayu is like an intermediate father.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I didn't know that. Yeah. So there's some answer here.
But still, just to point out that he's an incarnation necessarily.
Son. I mean, he's born from the semen of Lord Shiva.
Yeah, but some people are saying he's an incarnation. You don't know.
Well, there's different kinds of incarnation. Empowered, just like Vishnu has his Shakya Vesha avatars. So Shiva also empowers certain jivas, but they're still jivas.
Okay.
There are many personalities who strongly embody the mode of ignorance. You can call any of those a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. Some person who can, you know, Genghis Khan or somebody who can destroy so many people. You can consider him empowered by Lord Shiva. You know, there's that kind of incarnation also, not direct, but empowered incarnation. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Durvadipu, yeah.
Usually in general we know that devotees pray to have all this association of other devotees.
Yeah.
And even if something happens to them, they pray that they will remember the holy name of the Lord and be next to the devotees. They've also got enough doubt with them. Let me be born in the house of the devotees.
Yes.
But here we have an example of Jaya and Jaya, and they have chosen, not to be a devotee.
Well, because of what they want is to come back to Vaikuntha. We always have, it's natural to have a certain mood of devotional service. So you don't just want to, it's natural not to just want to associate with anybody, any devotees, But you especially want to associate with devotees who have the same mood of devotional service, same kind of devotional service. So they're Vaikuntha devotees. They want to go back to Vaikuntha. They don't want to go anywhere, you know, actually stay anywhere else. So their interest is to get back to Vaikuntha as soon as possible, whatever that takes. If it takes being demons and living with demons and being killed by Vishnu 3 times, they'll do it just to get it over with and go back to Vaikuntha and be with the devotees who they know, the Vaikuntha devotees. You know, so they're postponing their gratification, or they're making an, you know, trying to have the arrangement made so that they go back to Vaikuntha as soon as possible. Okay? Yeah.
All right, are there any other questions?
Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.